Let's open our Bibles and turn to the Gospel according to Luke chapter 2. We'll read the first 20 verses. And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, everyone into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, "Fear not. For behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you, ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which is come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us." And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen, as it was told unto them. Especially verses 11 and 12. "For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. Ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger." May the Lord bless the reading and the preaching of his word this morning. You'll notice on your sermon outlines that there's a sermon outline on the front and on the back. And of course, the back is then for our 3 o'clock worship today. Oh no, it's for Sunday morning. So please keep some of your outlines around. The shepherds praise God for what they had heard and seen as it was told unto them. If one looks at the gospel narratives, one always sees that combination. coming to Zacharias was a sign he would be chastised for his unbelief at the message that came also with that sign. There is now given a sign to these shepherds, and there's also a message attached to that sign. There was a sign given to Mary as a young virgin. How can the Lord do this? She didn't know a man. And the sign was, go look at your cousin Elizabeth, who was great with child. There will be a sign later on that Simeon talks about, even as he prophesies. And there will be a sign we will see tomorrow morning to the wise men in the sky, but there's also a message tied to it so that they go to Jerusalem to seek the King of the Jews. Even as today, we also are given two signs, aren't we? We are given baptism as a sign, and we are given the Lord's Supper as a sign. But those signs don't stand by themselves, as the Roman Catholic Church made known, but rather, there is the message that is always coming with a sign, helping us to interpret it and to know its true meaning. And so to these shepherds out in the field comes one of the most grand announcements possible. We have birth announcements, don't we? Usually a little card with a little saying or a text also in it. But those birth announcements are nothing compared to the birth announcement on that first Christmas morning or evening. Born unto you this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. An announcement that comes with song as a multitude of angels burst forth praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill to men. What a story we have here. What an announcement comes to these shepherds. Go, shepherds, go to this filthy, dirty stable. Go to that stable because in contrast to that filthy stable, there is the most exalted and wonderful person possible, the Son of God, come down in our flesh. There in that manger lies the living God, the Son of the living God. That stone manger licked smooth by the rough tongues of cattle. Hay strewn into that stone manger to make it a little bit softer as a bed for the little infant who was gently laid there by his mother. Oh, that birth, we're not given the details of that birth. Surely with the fall of Adam and Eve, that birth was made more difficult with travail. But these circumstances for Joseph and Mary and the birthing of their infant son, what a contrast. A stinky, filthy stall for animals is the birthplace of the Lord. So we look at that stable birth this morning, that birth divinely determined, that birth a significant sign, that birth attended by lowly visitors. A stable birth for him who is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Do you see with me that these events and these circumstances are divinely determined? Luke is interested in showing Theophilus, a Greek, how the Lord is working all these things for the salvation of his own, including the lowly birth of our Savior. He doesn't give us the date of the birth. We don't know what day it was, but he does tell us how it came about. He writes, "Oh, most excellent Theophilus, this I want you to be certain of. Be willing to suffer at the hands of others for your faith in him who was born in the lowly cattle stall." Divinely planned and carried out by the first Caesar of the Roman Empire. We read there, Caesar Augustus. He wants all the world to be taxed, and so Cyrenius and Herod say, "Okay, we want you to register. Heads of home, you come to your own hometown and you register so that later on we know how we can give the taxes out and collect them." We see divinely appointed by God not only that decree of Caesar, but also there is no room found, no lodging there in that town. You see, it is God who has determined that Christ would be born in Bethlehem. And it was God determined that he would be born in a lowly cattle stall. The Lord uses the world in order to work, in spite of itself, for the good of his church and according to his plan. This is the Lord who used King Nebuchadnezzar to come against Israel in order to chastise her for her sins for some 70 years. It was God who used a wicked king, Cyrus, who for his own reasons wants the people to go back to their own country in order that they may grow the crops and pay their taxes. God uses Cyrus to bring his people back again to the promised land. And now it is God who uses Caesar Augustus wanting taxes so that each of these folks must go to their hometown. For that is the way that God fulfills his prophecy. What prophecy is that? Micah chapter 5 verse 2. "But thou, O Bethlehem Ephratah, though thou be little among thine own, the cities of Judah, yet out of thee shall he come forth, that is to be ruler in Israel, whose goings forth have been from of old, from everlasting." God causes this to be. You can be sure that Joseph and Mary living up in Nazareth would not have undertaken that 100-mile trip in Mary's condition. It would be very difficult for Mary. But you see, God is not dependent upon the wishes of man. The birth of Christ Jesus is not determined by that. God works in human affairs, as maybe you also have seen in your own lives. God working behind the scenes, bringing men and women together in marriage, God giving children to you. And those things, those worldly things in the world, not even aware of it, are instruments by God for his good of his people. And so it is God who determined that the wicked ruler of the Roman Empire would want a tax, and that Cyrenius and Herod would say, "Okay, now is the time. I want you to go to your hometown and register." That's the occasion for the journey. Surely Joseph did not care to have Mary make that visit in her delicate condition. probably the last thing in his mind. We don't know if Joseph and Mary were unaware of that prophecy. They knew who Mary was carrying in her womb. But no, if they had their druthers, they would have stayed in Nazareth, wouldn't they? And it was not even necessary, really, for Mary to go up to Bethlehem. It is those males that were registered in the cities of their forefathers. It's David who has to, or it is Joseph who has to go to the city of David to be registered. But why? Why does Joseph have Mary in her delicate position going on that 100-mile journey down there to Bethlehem? And probably the answer is, he will not leave Mary in Nazareth to give birth all alone. He will not leave Mary all alone in Nazareth in order to hear the ridicule and the wagging of tongues. Here's this young lady. She hasn't been married quite 6 months, and she has a baby. Guess what? No, God uses all these things, whether it be a wicked ruler or whether it be the desire, the love of Joseph in his heart for his wife. He takes her along with him to Bethlehem. What a weary travel that must have been. We're not exactly told how long they were in Bethlehem before the birth, but they arrived there in Bethlehem as there were many others that arrived in Bethlehem at that time because they had to register for the taxation. And Joseph and Mary, weary from their travels, could find no lodging. There was no room in the inn. It is not the hard-heartedness of an innkeeper that doesn't feel pity for them. That's not the case. There simply was no room in the inn. And that too was determined by God everlastingly, because that is going to be a significant sign. Mary in travail is laid there in that cattle stall, and she gives birth to her child. She gives birth to our Lord Jesus Christ. What a contrast. He's the King of Kings. He's not born in the palace of a king in Jerusalem. But the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords is born in a cattle stall, lying in a manger. The stable birth was divinely determined, carried out by God. And so we might ask, why? And the angels say unto the shepherd, this shall be a sign unto you. Ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger. Yes, these shepherds. Now, in many of your pictures of the manger scene, you'll see these old men with long beards. There's really no reason for us to believe that they were old men. For it is usually the custom, as it was for Jesse also, that the youngest child in the family would take that kind of job. It's David who is out with his father's sheep in the field. And probably these are also youngsters taking care of their father's sheep out in the field. How will they see with their eyes that which they have heard with their ears? And a sign is given to them. Let us go unto Bethlehem. How are they going to find him? That town, even though it's a small town, is filled with all these people that have come for the taxation? How will they find this father and mother and their child? And they are told, he's there in a cave, in a stable, where caravans would put their animals overnight, whether it be donkeys, or whether it be sheep, or whether it be camels. Look there. So they're traveling there to Bethlehem. The sign is given to them. Look, look at those caverns around Bethlehem. There, there you will find the Lord Jesus lying in a manger. Surely that was not Joseph and Mary's first choice. They would have been comfortably there in Nazareth. But the Lord determined, the Lord sent, and now the sign is given. The Lord Jesus lying in a manger. A sign, beloved, not just for these young shepherd boys who come to see and to worship, but a sign also for us. What a sign of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God who left the glory of heaven and came down in the likeness of our sinful flesh. It's a sign of what the Apostle Paul writes about in 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 9. For ye know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes became poor, so that ye through his poverty might be rich. What a sign. What a sign. The Lord Jesus wrapped there in swaddling clothes. Not eloquent gowns that they would have for the princes and princesses of the kingdom. Swaddling clothes is strips of clothing. It's the poor man's clothing. Indeed, he and his parents are in poverty. We know that also from the gift that they give at the presentation of Jesus at the temple and the purification of Mary. They couldn't afford a sheep. Rather, it's two turtle doves given for a burnt offering and for a sin offering. Jesus Christ came down from heaven, the glory of heaven, in the likeness of our sinful flesh. What grace. What grace that he left all that behind, that is, that glory that belongs to his person, so that with one's eyes, what does one see but just a helpless little baby born to poverty-stricken parents? What grace that our Lord Jesus Christ was willing to settle for the privations of the poverty. Never did he have a house of his own where he could lay down his head. What a picture we have of God's great gift, sending his Son. The angels must have marveled. What is God doing that the second person of the Blessed Trinity is going to come down not only into a sinful world, a world that stinks worse than that cattle stall, but in the likeness of our flesh, a helpless little baby, dependent upon his mother to change his clothing, to give him suck. He who was rich, yet for your sakes became poor. What a sign we have there in Bethlehem. The poverty that Christ Jesus, he emptied himself, Philippians 2 verse 6. He emptied himself so that we might be filled with his life. But second of all, A sign will be given unto the shepherd boys. This shall be a sign unto you. Ye shall find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. A manger, a cattle stall. Not the fine houses in Jerusalem, but a cattle stall. What is that a sign of? Is that not a sign of the world's relationship to Christ who was born there in that stable? Simply put, there was no room. We do not read here that the innkeeper was unwilling to give him a room or didn't make room for him. But there was no room. And beloved, that is a sign also to us. It is a sign that no one can make room for the Christ in their hearts or in their lives. There is no room in your or my heart or life by nature. We would hate him. We would despise him. We'd say, no, no, no. I got my pleasures. I got my wealth. I got the things of this world in my heart. There's no room for Christ Jesus. And isn't that the good news that the angels bring? He says, fear not, behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. And what are those good tidings? The good tidings is that God makes room for his Son. God makes room in our hearts and our lives in spite of us. In spite of the fact that humanity, as we are by nature, wants no part of him, does not seek him, does not desire his salvation, God makes room. Do you see there that the poverty in that manger is a picture of our own spiritual poverty? We are found of ourselves to be enemies of God. No room, no room. And that's the glorious gospel, the good tidings. God makes room by his grace so that we know him and we love him and we want to serve him. I bring unto you good tidings. Oh, there in that dark night, which is a spiritual picture of the darkness of sin in our lives and in the world, there comes the shining bright light of God's glory. He's doing something for fallen humanity. For all those whom he has chosen, he now sends his Son in order to redeem them by his blood. What a sign. Let us pause. Our spiritual poverty, he becomes poor so that through his poverty we might be made rich. What are those riches? That you and I who were enemies, you and I are made children of God. That you and I who were far removed from God, there could be no covenant relationship with us by his grace. We are brought near in worship as these young shepherds were. So notice with me, thirdly, then this morning, the lowly visitors that come. And we're going to be tracing some of these visitors. Today it's these shepherds. Tomorrow morning it's going to be those wise men who come from afar, Gentiles. And Sunday night, you're going to have an old, aged saint who is probably about 110 years coming there to the temple to behold the desire of the nations, the Christ child. So there are visitors there at the stable. Oh, what a rich announcement was given unto them. I bring to you good tidings of great joy. Unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. Even though these very birth is very simple. You can't get more simple than that. A young lady giving birth to her child in a cattle stall. The birth announcement is grand. Accompanied with that host of angels singing glory to God in the highest and peace to men of his goodwill. Those peace to those whom God has elected and given to Jesus Christ to be redeemed. That rich announcement doesn't come to the rabbis, does it? That rich announcement doesn't come to the chief priests or the scribes or the Pharisees or the Sanhedrin, but it comes to lowly shepherds. It comes to an old man, Simeon, who is waiting for the promises, praying for the promises of the Lord, for the Savior who is to come, of whom the sacrifices and the altar are only pictures. Yes, the announcement comes to those who believe and hold on to the promise of God that he would give the seed of the woman who would crush the head of the serpent. The announcement comes to those who are eagerly waiting for the consolation of Israel. Oh, they were sore afraid when the angels first come with their announcement, and well, they might be sore afraid, just like Zacharias. No word of the Lord, we are in the darkness of our sins, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them. Wouldn't you be scared? Fear not, for I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. To all people. In other words, still today, to you and I who cling to God's promise, to you and I who believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, there's good news. Even as this world becomes darker and darker in sin, we see even in our governments a hatred for the church or attacks on the church. Pretty soon there won't be the freedom that we now enjoy. But there is born a Savior who takes away all of our sin, who took the curse for our sin to himself, namely death and hell. The Savior who brings peace to troubled minds. Oh, do you know that peace, beloved? Our conscience is accusing us of our sin. Sinner, sinner, sinner. You did that again. That besetting sin that is so strong. The sins of the mind that come even while we're sleeping in bed. The sins of our tongue. Rather than blessing others, we often have a reproach against them. Our sins. Can I stand? Can you stand before God's presence this morning in all of his glory? And the answer is absolutely you can. For here's the good news. Fear not. The Savior is born. With that announcement and the angels leaving them there again with their sheep, these young shepherds consult together and said, well, let us now go. Let us see this thing that has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. They received the sign and they received the message. And now with that, they say, let us go. Let us go and see this thing which the Lord has made known unto us. And what do they find? They come with haste. They do not dilly-dally around, say, well, someday maybe we will go. Oh, how unlike the religious leaders when later on, which we'll see tomorrow morning, the wise men come and say, where is he that is born King of the Jews? And they tell him exactly, it's Bethlehem. And how many of them do you actually see traveling over there to Bethlehem to see this thing which the Lord hath made known? Zip, zero, none. These young lads They see the sign. They hear about that sign. They hear the message, and they go to see these things which the Lord has made known. And what do they find? Were they shocked? What do they see physically? A very poor couple. A poor couple. They see a newborn son. Nothing special about that son when they look with these eyes. Looking at that helpless little baby, one would say, how in the world can that bring salvation and peace to my soul and heart? Here are circumstances more lowly than one could ever expect. At least when the wise men come, they go to a house where the young couple is living. But here, all they see and all they can smell is the filthy cattle stall with a poor couple and a helpless baby. That's what they see with these eyes, but what do they see spiritually? What do they see spiritually because of what they have heard from the angel and the sign that was set before them? They see the most amazing wonder of all time. They behold Emmanuel. They behold God who is pleased to dwell with us in our human flesh. They see God made man of the seed of David. And by faith, they believe these good tidings. What are the good tidings? Born unto you this day in the city of David is a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. Oh, beloved, how many think it's kind of cute to see this little nativity sets here or there? Either indoors or outdoors, cute little baby, and these wandering people around them with their animals. But how many of them behold in the one who lays in the manger, the one who will hang on a cross, who willingly gave himself in our flesh to take away our sins? Beloved, is that what you see this Christmas morning? Is that why there's joy as we're singing our songs? Born unto us this day in the city of David is the Savior, who is Christ the Lord. Christ, that term in the Hebrew, Messiah, the one who was promised, the one who was ordained by God in order to take the shackles of sin off from you and me. He who comes to give us new life, whereas we are dead in sin, a Savior. God with us, of the seed of David. Why is that important? Because with David there is attached the throne. With David there is attached the kingdom. Here in this helpless child is the hope of all ages, the everlasting kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of the Lord Jesus Christ. Behold your Savior, shepherds. And they, when they had seen it, verse 17, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. They could not remain silent, could they? But to everyone that they bumped into, they made known to that which they had heard and what that which they had seen and that which they believed. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told unto them. Perhaps this Christmas morning, boys and girls, you might think, I wish I wish I could have seen that. I wish I was there in that cattle stall to behold Jesus with my eyes. But beloved, I want you to understand with me the poverty of those shepherds' view. The poverty of their view. Oh, they were blessed. They had received the good tidings about salvation. Yes, they had seen the babe lying there in the manger. That's our Savior. But what view do we have? You and I who have come into this world after the Holy Spirit's been poured out. You and I who have the rest of the Scriptures. You and I have a glimpse, a view of our Savior in all of His perfections, in all of His teaching, in all of His miracles, in all of His parables. You and I who know what would take place in His life, how He would be our Savior. I wonder if the shepherds, those young men there that morning, were putting two and two together. I wonder whether they were seeing their plight as being shepherds over those dumb sheep. Yes, all of us are like these silly sheep, always straying. How we need the good shepherd to come to lead us and to care for us, to preserve us, to give us salvation. I wonder if the shepherds looked at the little lambs that were in the flock. And then they looked and they beheld the Savior of whom John the Baptist prepares the way and says, "Behold, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sins of the world." No, they probably didn't understand many of those kind of things. But you and I with the Scriptures, we are able to look at that babe born in a cattle stall. Oh, He is the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world. Yes, He is the good shepherd who inaugurates His kingdom by caring, by feeding, by preserving His church and taking them to glory. What a view. What an announcement to you and to me. Fear not. You and I might be going through all trying kind of circumstances, loneliness in our life, grief over the sins of others against us, sickness and pain. Fear not, behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people, rich and poor, Americans, those from the Philippines, all nations, God gathering His people, bringing good news for today. That is, on that first Christmas, there is born unto us a Savior who is Christ, who is our Lord and our Savior. Do you know Him? Do you love Him? Are your hearts filled with celebration? Do you go forth from here glorifying and praising God for all the things that you have heard and you spiritually behold? Amen. Father in heaven, we're thankful for the gospel of our Lord Jesus. We're thankful for faith, the faith of these young shepherds who went to see these things that they had heard about. We're thankful, Father, that we who have this precious gospel, we also go forth praising Thee and speaking to others of what the Lord has done. Bless, O Lord, the ministry of the church then. Through that ministry, gather all Thine elect to Thyself with the good tidings of Jesus the Savior. Amen. Let's turn in our Psalters to number 218. Oh, let thy hand, thy chosen one, sustain the Son of Man thou madest strong to be. So we shall be faithful to thy cause remain. Let's sing stanzas 1, 5, and 6 of 218.